Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 it's your boy, In God, on the internet, on iTunes and Amazon.com. Got the internet going nuts. It's your boy, Minister Stevie T. And hey, at 9 p.m. sharp Eastern time, I'm checking out my homie, Faith Walker, on what?
The Mantle of God Empowerment Program.
What's wrong with
me?
What done got into it? What's wrong with me? Lord, I got it in my feet.
Got it in my feet.
Got it in my feet. Amazon.com. Got the internet going nuts at 9 p.m. sharp Eastern time. I'm checking out my homie, Faith Walker, on what?
The Mantle of God Empowerment Program.
When I stand before God and he asks me, why did I kill one of his true miracles? What am I going to say?
That
it was my job.
Draw me. As I labor through the storm, you have called me to this passage, and I blessing. May I ride on a wave.
Amen. Also, special shout out, amen, to Mr. Dell. If y'all have not joined us on last night, we had a gospel rap on here last night. You might say, oh, gospel rapper. Well, look, amen, you can miss me with that, amen. We had a gospel rap on last night. He's a man of God. He's also a pastor, amen, among the generation of God who was called to seek him in his hour. We're talking about Mr. Dell. He was on last night, amen. He was talking about soul ties, being free from that. That's his new book out. Definitely Google it. Go get that. It's called Soul Ties by Dell Lawrence. Get that. Amen. He also made a major announcement last night that he's doing a sequel to the classic Christian rap album, Hope Dealer. He's doing Hope Dealer 2, and he said after that he's retiring after 10 albums doing Christian rap since he left 3-6 Mafia. Amen. And came and do this work for God. Amen. So shout out to Mr. Dell. Shout out to Kenton Jones. All the artists who called in on last night. If you want to hear that episode, go to blogtalkradio.com/NathanOnTheSpot. You can dig in the archive, amen, listen to the episode last night. It was very monumental, amen. He released it here first on EMG Radio. So once again, shout out. Also shout out to Darren Deke, all the gospel artists that called in on last night. We bless God that you're counting our robbery to join us on EMG Radio. The scripture reading for the night is John chapter 1. Hallelujah, I feel the presence of God. We feel John chapter 1, amen, verses 30. Hallelujah. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. I just read John chapter 1, hallelujah, verses 32 through 35, amen, 36, amen. Blessed not only the hearers, but the doers of God's holy word. We are tuned into the Mantle of God Empowerment program. At this time, we're going to bring forth some people that I met by the Spirit of God. I met them by the anointing. Flesh and blood had not revealed this connection, amen, amen. They checked me, amen. They're one of the few prophets in my circle, amen, that personally God used to check me, amen, keep me on my toes, amen, and I thank God for them. Because you need true folks, amen, filled with the Spirit of God who will check you every now and then, amen, and, you know, who will set their face like a flint, amen. So those are the kind of people you need, amen. But these anointed couple, amen, they're the founders, amen, of On Fire for Christ Outreach Ministries, amen. I'm talking about none other than the prophets Deshaun and Michelle Smith. Come forth, man, woman of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord, prophet. How are you?
Amen. We're definitely excited that you're joining us on the Mantle of God Empowerment program, amen. For those of you, amen, also the woman of God joining us, Prophetess Michelle, amen, we definitely salute y'all in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Prophet. It's a blessing to be on the program on tonight. Glory to God.
Amen. Well, we, you know, you got everybody out here tonight, Holy Ghost, so we're just going to dive right into it, amen. We ain't going to shuck and jive, amen. What is God saying in this hour to the prophets of God and to the apostles of God, being that these first two dimensions, according to the word of God, are sent in the church by God, amen. So what is God saying to those apostles and prophets in this hour that's supposed to work together for the building of the church, praise God?
Amen. I believe that in this hour, glory to God, this is a message that the Lord has been dealing with me about wherever I go. And that is simply that the prophets of God, the people that he has called to be his mouthpiece, in this hour we cannot carry a spirit of compromise. Come on, there's a lot that's going on in the world, and how many know that the spirit of compromise is running rampant? But the Bible declares that righteousness exalts a nation, and that sin is a reproach to any people. And I believe that in this hour, the Lord is calling his mouthpieces, his vessels, his prophets to speak the truth in the season that we are living in. Come on, we're in a time where there is a call for the truth. The land is dry and it's thirsty. And I believe, like the Lord told the prophet Jeremiah, he said, listen, he said, don't look at their faces. Come on, he said, don't look at them. He said, just know what I have called you to do. And that's what the prophets of the nations have to do in this hour. We can't look at the faces of man. Come on, we can't look at what they're trying to push in the White House. We can't look at what they're trying to push in the schools, in regular society. We have to look at God. And we're in an hour where we have to set our faces like flint. Come on, we have to cry loud and we have to spare not. And we have to blow our voices like a trumpet. And we have to speak and declare what thus saith the Lord. There's no room in this hour for compromise, prophet. Come on, prophet, compromise is not going to get God's people where they need to go. We have to see things for what they are. We have to not be worried about what we look like to man, whether or not we're going to be rejected, whether or not we're going to be accepted. Come on, we don't even have to look for popularity, because how many know much of what we have to say in this hour is not going to be popular? As a matter of fact, it's going to be adverse and contradictory to the currents of the time. But we can't be worried about that. Our one objective has to be to carry the power of God to the nations, the truth of God to the nations. And he's looking for people that are not in it for themselves. Come on, he's looking for people that are dead to themselves, but who are alive in Christ. And in this hour, what the Lord is saying through his vessels is cry loud, spare not, speak the truth. Come on, when it's popular, when it's unpopular, when you're going to be hated, when you're going to be rejected, speak what I tell you to speak, and that only, and nothing less. And that's what the Lord is saying in this hour.
Amen, 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 woman of God. Amen. I know we also joined, for those of you who are just tuned in, amen, we're joined, amen, by the prophets, amen, the founders of On Fire for Christ Outreach Ministries, prophets Deshaun and Michelle Smith, amen, definitely in the building, amen, declaring the word of God, amen. So let's talk about, amen. Go ahead, amen, prophet, if you want to build on your wife, amen.
Amen. I just wanted to really bear witness to what my wife was saying. Amen. This is a time for the people of God to begin to sound the alarm. I'm telling you, when the people of God begin to release a sound into the earth realm, begins to release, and the Bible says that whatever we loose on earth, it shall be loosed on heaven. I'm telling you, when the people of God begin to come into divine alignment and begin to truly align themselves with the word and the will of God for their lives, then the kingdom of God begins to prevail against the kingdom of darkness. It's time for the people to get on one accord in one spirit and operate as one body. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we won't see God prevail and move in the lives of his people if we do not. The Bible says this in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn away from their evil and wicked ways, then he says this, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. That's when we will begin to see the signs and the miracles and the wonders happen in the earth realm. When the people of God begin to repent, I preached a message a few weeks ago that it's time for the church to return back onto God. Hallelujah. It's time for the church to return back onto her original state. Hallelujah. God wants us to begin to turn away from them things that are not glorifying onto him. Those things that have hindered us from walking in the fullness that God has called us to in this season. God, I begin to speak. The Lord just begin to really minister onto me. Amen. He said, listen, that thing, hallelujah, that thing that I told you to turn, I need you to turn all the way away from it so that I can use you in the way that I desire to use you. Hallelujah. He says this in his word. He said, they that love me obey my commandments. Hallelujah. And I begin to tell the people, how many of you love the Lord your God? Hallelujah. And when you love something, love is the action word. Hallelujah. You begin to move, hallelujah, and pursue the thing that God has commanded you to do. Hallelujah. But I'm going to stop right there, prophet. I'm going to let you go on with the next question. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. This is the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Call a friend, call that uncle, call that brother, amen, that need that word, amen. Definitely see fit to call in at any time. This ain't no prosperity prophets, amen, on here, amen. You need that word for the Lord, amen. You need a fresh rhema, amen. You need manna from heaven, you call in. Don't shuck and jive, don't procrastinate, amen. The prophets of God, they are here in the building, amen. What I want to ask you right now is, why is a lot of prophets, amen, it seems like many that I talk to are being oppressed in ministry. A lot of the leaders, they'll see that they God has sent a prophet among them, amen, and a lot of them are just sitting, drying up, or they're going through battles in their own ministry. They're not being raised up, amen. What you say about leaders in this hour, amen? And we're not bashing any leaders, but it's a lot of that stuff that do go on, and these are the questions that a lot of prophets that we know that we deal with are going through in this hour.
Amen, prophet. Praise the Lord. I would like to say this first, hallelujah, that as a prophet, hallelujah, and, you know, and you have someone who God has assigned over your life, hallelujah, to nurture you and to lead and to guide you, hallelujah. A lot of times the reason why we don't see the release and we don't see certain things moving is because the Lord, he wants our character and integrity to develop. A lot of people operate, the Bible says this, that gifts and callings come without repentance. So we have a lot of prophets that are going out that are operating, amen, solely in the gift and solely in the anointing, and they do not have the life, the character, or the integrity, amen, to fully walk. You know, I believe that a prophet must be groomed, hallelujah. A prophet must be taught, amen. The Holy Spirit, amen, as the Lord is, he steadily is growing and maturing me. And I know a lot of times the Lord, he speaks to the prophets directly. See, the leader or overseer over, you know, a minister, a chief apostle, their job is to just really teach you and show you how to operate in your gifting and to really teach you character and integrity. But most of your giftings and stuff, it will come through prayer and intimacy with God. You will get a lot of revelation from the Holy Spirit, through dreams, through visions, and things of that nature. But I believe a lot of times leaders, either they don't have the understanding as to who they have in their presence, nor do they have the anointing to be able to push forward what God has placed on the inside of the prophet. And the reason why I can bear witness of this is because once upon a time I was in a situation like this when I began to have dreams and visions, and my pastor began to tell me to put salt and different things under my pillow because the dreams that I was having, he couldn't understand it. He couldn't perceive it. The Bible says, he who has an ear, let him hear to what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Yes. If that leader do not have an ear and they're not in tune with God for themselves, and they're not heeding unto what God is saying concerning their own life, how do you expect for them to get revelation and insight for what God is doing for someone else's life?
My Lord,
it doesn't work that way. But it's a two-way street, prophet. It's not only that leaders must submit unto the hand of God and the will of God for that individual's life, but that that individual must start to begin to grow and mature and start to bear fruit. Amen. And they must start to live a life that is holy and pleasing unto the Lord. Amen. And in that growing and that maturity and through prayer, amen, dedication and prayer, the Lord will start to reveal unto that leader, amen, to release that person. Or the Lord in due season in his timing will speak unto you and will speak unto someone else to confirm that it is time to be removed or released from that place. A lot of, see, you have the spirit of religion, you know. Mm. The spirit of religion is a big opponent against the prophetic, and the spirit of Jezebel is a bit, it contends against the true prophetic gifting in the individual's life, and it tries to choke out the ministry or the seed that God has planted on the inside of the prophet. Amen. And a lot of times you'll see the prophets go through depression. I remember a time I was being oppressed so bad as a babe in Christ and not really having a strong and rooted and grounded foundation in God. I remember it was a time where the enemy spoke to me, and I began to pray a prayer and say, Lord, take my life. I do not want to wake up tomorrow. But then the Lord, something shifted in that situation. The Lord begins to shift on the inside of me, and I begin to speak life over myself. I begin to, in the midst of people not understanding who I was, the Lord begin to reveal himself unto me. He began to appear unto me, and those forces, those things that came against my mind, those things that came against the ministry and the seed that God has planted on the inside of me had to bow. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I'm telling you, if you begin to get in a place of humility and bow yourself down before the Lord God, I'm telling you, the Lord will begin to shift things in your favor. The people, amen, the Bible says that when a man ways are pleasing unto the Lord, that even his enemy shall be at peace with him. I'm telling you, when you begin to get in a place with God and God favors you, I'm telling you, those who rose up against you will begin to show you favor.
Hallelujah. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. This is the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Amen. We are joined by the founders, amen, of On Fire for Christ Outreach Ministries. Amen. We have the prophets in the building. Amen. Deshaun Smith and Michelle Smith, the prophets, amen, are here. Amen. Definitely, you're on the line. You can definitely press 1. All of y'all that's ganged up on the line, you can definitely press 1 at any given time. If you got any questions concerning the prophetic mantle or amen assignment, or you just want a word, amen, a fresh word, amen, or you need prayer, amen, you may do so at any point, amen. So govern yourselves accordingly, amen. Prophets, amen, I got a question for you. We notice in the word of God, amen, that during the era of Elijah and Elisha, even during Saul, amen, we know that they had the company of the prophets, the school of the prophets, amen. Now, we know that many apostles have schools of the prophets, amen, but they may not be prophets, or at least their title is not. But then we know some may feel that prophets need to be trained in a school or company of prophets, but then we see that operative in Jeremiah, Elisha sat underneath Elijah, but then we have John the Baptist, who was sent straight from God by the apostolic of God and just didn't sit up underneath nobody but God and just went forth in his mission. What is the difference when God sends somebody who needs training by man, or he sends somebody with a specific assignment straight from him?
Amen. Prophet, you know, answering this question, it actually flows into, you know, what you asked in the last question about people, you know, prophets, their voices being oppressed in this hour. If you don't mind, I just wanted to add something real quick to what my husband had to say about that, and then I'm going to go ahead and just address this next question. But
amen.
I believe that the reason we are seeing the oppression of the prophets in this hour is, like my husband said, a lot of it has to do with the spirit of religion, which generally is combined with tradition. Tradition and religion, not anointing, not lifestyle, not relationship, but religion and tradition tend to walk hand in hand. As you know, the Bible says that in the last days that the Lord will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And it said that his sons and his daughters shall prophesy. And along with that, I believe, comes a liberty to prophesy. However, the Bible also tells us that the tradition of men makes the word of God of not effect. And so that is a tug of war in the spirit realm that Jesus identified. It may have seemed simple because in the context in which he was speaking, it was simple as people washing their hands. But I believe that what Jesus identified is an ancient tradition in the realm of the spirit, where tradition, religion battles the anointing of God. It battles the assignment upon his mouthpiece. And so I believe that there is a war in the spirit that goes on. And what happens is, a lot of times we have leaders that have bought into the lie of, I'm protecting my vision. And so there is a doctrine of separation that prevents
themselves, and they begin to think of the thing and the work of the ministry as theirs, and they begin to place a monopoly on it, and they begin to hover over it, such that when the Spirit of Christ wants to move and have free course, they begin to set a limit and a cap on it. And then flowing into your next question, go ahead, Prophet.
I wanted to say, what do you do as a leader? When you have a leader, as a prophet, or, you know, you're sitting under somebody, and God is, and, you know, you might have started ministry with some folks, amen, and then next thing you know, God's called you to reset the order, or may have called the leader to reset the order. You know, we're going in another direction, says the Spirit of the Lord. Now, the leader does not want to go in that direction. Maybe it's apostle or the overseer who's over that prophet or whatever the case may be. They said, the Spirit of the Lord said, I've been doing a new thing. But you know, tradition says we're going to stick to what's been working for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. You know, what do you do as a prophet of God? Do you go forth? Do you listen what God is dealing with you on? Or do you just stay there, amen, and you just submit unto man when you feel the Spirit of the Lord said you need to come out from among them?
Well, Prophet, I believe that just as a leader has a responsibility to hear from God on behalf of the people that God has given him oversight over, that a follower also has a responsibility to hear the voice of God. God is a God of order. He has one spirit, and that one spirit speaks and breathes the same thing. If you are in a place as a prophet where you have heard from God, I believe you have a responsibility to, first of all, take it to your leader, because God does respect the leader that has been set over you.
Yes.
However, if your leader is not in a place where they're able to see what it is that the Lord has revealed to you, I believe you, as a follower and as a part of that ministry, your responsibility is to take it into prayer so that your leader's eyes may be open. However,
yes,
remember, a lot of times we're dealing with principalities in high places, and unfortunately, the leaders of the ecclesia are subject to these powers. Wherever we are unsubmitted to God, it leaves room for the enemy to come in. So if your leader is not in a place where he's able to step past what he's feeling in his flesh, what he's feeling, the oppression of principalities, you still have a responsibility to fulfill the assignment and the mandate that God has placed upon your life. If you notice, and I keep going back to the book of Jeremiah, because to me it is one of the most prolific examples of God calling a prophet by himself, by his own hand, and sending him out. He said that he basically told Jeremiah, he said, I have put my words in your mouth. And then he proceeded to tell Jeremiah, he said, what do you see? Immediately after he placed the word in his mouth, he proceeded to call him into his assignment. He said, what do you see? Jeremiah at that point could have stopped and doubted, but no, he knew he had a charge from God, and his responsibility was to obey. This is what I believe, Prophet. I believe after you have heard from God your assignment and you have taken it to your leader, you have prayed, you have sought the Lord, you have taken inventory of your heart, because it is possible that the spirit of rebellion can be in effect. But if you know that you have taken it to God in your heart, out of your relationship in your place with Christ, and you hear the Lord charging you to go, I believe that you have a responsibility to go. And you don't have to do it in a way that's going to undermine the authority of the leader, but you know that you have to go. And I believe personally, and I have experienced this myself, that in a case such as that, you have to bow before the Lord, let him know, Father, my assignment is to carry out what you've placed upon me, and I believe that you have to go. And the thing is that God will make provision for the journey. The more that you go is the more he'll make it apparent what his will is. The more that you go and the more that you lean on Christ is the more he'll make it apparent that this is your assignment. He won't ever put you out there and leave you stranded. He'll carry you every step of the way. But you have to make sure that you have heard from God. You have to search your heart, ask God to search you and to ensure that you are not walking in rebellion. And one of the ways that you know that you're not walking in rebellion is that you are operating in love, that you don't disrespect your rank, that you don't do it with malice, that you don't do it with envy. You're not stirring up members of the congregation. You're not busy setting aside your own little following. When you are charged by God, you don't care who is following you. You go because you're charged by the Spirit of Christ. And you know somewhere deep inside that the people that God has assigned to hear your voice, they will go. They will hear you. You don't have to go and make a rally for yourself to cause people to follow. You don't do that. The anointing that's on your life, the place of power that God has called you to possess, will call the people forth. Watch this, not to follow you, but to follow him in you. So I believe that you, if you know that you have a mandate, don't let the traditions of man make the word of God concerning you be of non-effect. Seek the face of God and proceed cautiously in prayer and trust God that he will direct your path. And that's what I would say to anyone, and that's from my own life experience.
Amen, amen. The line's on fire here. Amen. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Any of y'all, y'all can push one at any time. Also, all of y'all that's ganged up, amen, worldwideweblogtalkradio.com/Nathan on the spot. You can definitely call in at 347-945-5416. We have the founders, amen, of On Fire for Christ Outreach Ministries. We have the prophets, amen, Deshaun and Michelle Smith, amen. We're talking about the prophetic mantle, amen. The prophetic mantle is on demonstration by, amen, On Fire for Christ Outreach Ministries, amen. We're about to shift gears a little bit. We're about to talk about this thing called kingdom marriage. My Lord, we're about to talk about kingdom marriage, amen. Amen. What is kingdom marriage, prophets?
Amen. I believe kingdom marriage is a marriage that has a specific purpose and assignment. I believe this, prophet, that everything that we do ought to bring glory to God. Everything that we do is to direct others toward Christ always. I believe that a kingdom marriage is to personify and replicate the image of Christ to his church, his bride. I believe a kingdom marriage ought to be in the image and the likeness of Christ and his church. Having said that, I believe that a marriage that would be termed a kingdom marriage ought to represent the love of Christ that he has. And not only the love of Christ that he has, but the submission of the church to Christ. Not as a tyrannical leader, not as one with a strong arm pounding his people, but one that is governed by love, governed by and identified by love. Above all things, prophet, no matter what you do, no matter how long you've been married, love is the principal thing. Love is the thing that binds. It is the thing that exemplifies Christ. It was out of love that Christ died for his church. And the Bible tells the husband, he says, listen, you ought to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. That's love on a whole nother level. I believe that a kingdom marriage is to exemplify Christ's love for his church and also the church's love for Christ, their relationship, their oneness. It ought to represent oneness. And I believe in doing so, God will be glorified, that the image of Christ will be portrayed. And I believe that if any couple is able to achieve that, then they're on, you know, on a good path, and that is a kingdom marriage.
Hallelujah. Amen. So let me ask you, go ahead, Prophet, Prophet Deshaun.
Amen. I just want to piggyback off that, hallelujah. And I just want to just share something with the people of God. Initially, when my wife and I got married, in the very early stages of our marriage, the enemy began to attack us early on in the first few years, and he began to convince us that our marriage is not of God. And we hear a lot of people, a lot of believers who said that they believe in God and that they trust God, and they come and they say that our marriage is not of God. When the Bible clearly states that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Amen. And a lot of times we get attacked so much that we start to grow weary, and the enemy, his desire is to push us into areas that is not of God. And we get caught in that trap. And if we do not have a prayer life, if we don't have people praying for us, if we don't have leadership praying for us and sowing seeds into our marriage, you know, one of the things that really try to take my wife and I for a loop is that the leadership was not playing its role as it was supposed to. A lot of times the church get it twisted. They go to either the husband or to the wife, and they try to pull on that. And what has helped us throughout the years, we begin to put people in their place, and we tell them that there is no separation. When you begin to see my wife, you see me. And when you see her, you see me. You know, when you see me, you see her. And we begin to tell people that. And when we begin to tell people and put people in their place, that's when the people begin to see us as they were supposed to see us. And see, what happened was the church a lot of times are not playing their proper role and position in the marriage. They think that coming to church and, you know, having this big service and doing all of these wonderful things and growing and the blessings of the Lord is raining upon the church, and they forget to minister unto the families. Without a strong family, you do not have a church. The husband or the wife is discombobulated and they are not in the home or they're going through hell, you do not have a healthy church. You have a hurting church. You have a bruised church. You have a church that's divorced and separated from their spouses, emotionally so and naturally so. So you do not have a church. You don't have a church that's restored. So, you know, my thing is, you know, leadership play a vital role into marriage. And, you know, we have to understand as married people that even if the leadership, even if everyone else says your marriage is not of God, you got to trust that what God has done, even if your wife or your husband is not 100%, or they may do things that may seem contrary to the will of God. If you begin to bow down and pray and ask the Lord to change your spouse, it's a lot of times, I remember, you know, it would be times where I would want to see certain results in my wife. And I'm like, man, why this not happen? And the enemy would try to get me discouraged. And I would begin to pray and bow down and ask the Lord to begin to shift certain things and move certain things in our marriage. And she did the same thing, vice versa. You know, we would say things to one another that was hurtful. She would begin to pray. I remember one time the Lord spoke to me in my sleep, and he woke me up out of my sleep and had me call my wife at 6 o'clock in the morning while she was at work and repent. See, what happens is we have to have a foundation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what marriage does, it prepares you for true ministry. A lot of people, you know, I thought I was a warrior. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a warrior. I'm an ambassador for Christ. And then once you get married, you know, all of that stuff kind of goes out the window. Because now the Lord wants to see how can you really stand? Can you really trust me? Can you really rely and depend on me? Even in the midst of discord and what seems like chaos and chaotic, and the foundation seems like it's about to fall and crumble, will you still trust me? Mm-hmm. You know? So I would say, my wife kind of touched on the husband. So I would say to the wife, the Bible says this. It says, wives, submit your own selves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Your submission is not even to your husband. It's unto the Lord. It's in obedience to God's word and his commandments. So your submission, it doesn't matter what he may do, what he may say. You just remember that you're here to serve and worship and glorify the Lord God. It doesn't matter what he does or what he's doing. The Lord is able to restore it if you allow him. You know, there's certain situations where, you know, if the spouse's heart is just so hardened and they go their own way. But, you know, it was, who was it, Pastor Benny Hinn. Him and his wife were separated and divorced for years.
That's right.
And through prayer and through him doing the work of the Lord restored their marriage. The Lord brought it back together. They got remarried. And I believe, you know, the Bible says that God never designed divorce to be. I believe marriage was supposed to be for life. He said the only reason why he allowed it was because of the hardening of the people's hearts.
Mm.
You know? So marriage is a heart thing.
Amen, amen. Listen, we're here on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program with the prophets, amen, the founders of On Fire for Christ Outreach Ministries, the prophets, Deshaun Smith, Michelle Smith, amen, they're definitely in the building, amen, and for Lines on Fire, amen, you got everybody out here tonight, the people of God are just listening, amen, to the words of exhortation and prophetic word coming straight on down, amen. We're talking about kingdom marriage right now. We shifted from the prophetic. We spent almost 40 minutes talking about that. We're just rocking out on a kingdom marriage right now in the name of Jesus Christ. So, amen. If you need any questions, any concerning your relationships and all of that stuff, definitely call in at any time or just press 1. Amen. You could definitely, if you desire prayer, don't sit there bound up. Don't sit there and you're stuck in your own ways. Amen. You come and get some prayers. Amen. From this man and woman of God who's walking in the oneness. Amen. So, speaking of oneness, thank you, Holy Ghost. Let me slow down a little bit. Now, I studied the scriptures when you was talking about as unto the Lord, and I found something, and God spoke something to my spirit, and that the man has a role to play in the marriage, and the woman has a role to play in the marriage as well. So then I said, well, God, you said the women must submit, and then God said, well, wait a minute, you must be like me unto the woman. You know, you must be like me, and she must be like the church who looked towards me. So how do we balance that out, knowing both roles, that the man has a role to play and that the woman of God has a role to play in Jesus' name?
Well, first of all, Prophet, I believe that the power to achieve any healthy balance comes from the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Ghost, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you spend time in God's presence, he communes with you. He is that balance that you are able to find.
Yeah.
I want you to understand that without the Holy Spirit, without God's guidance, you do not have, I do not have, my husband does not have the power to represent Christ or for me to represent the church. That can only come from the Spirit of the Lord. I believe, though, that what needs to happen is, first of all, we have to be committed in our relationship to Christ first. That's the first responsibility. Because your commitment to God will govern your commitment in your marriage. Your commitment to God is what will remind you as a husband that you ought to love your wife as Christ loved the church. It's your commitment to him and not wanting to be displeasing to him, not wanting to cause the relationship between you and him to be sullied. It's your desire to please him and to love him that will cause a husband to say, wait a minute, I need to love my wife like Christ loved her. He loved her to the extent that he gave his life for his church, for his bride. And then it's the same thing with a woman. My relationship, Prophet, as a wife, is what helps me to be able to say, wait a minute, I can't rebel against my husband. If I rebel against my husband,
I'm rebelling against the Lord because he told me to submit myself to my husband as unto God. That means if my husband is out of pocket and he's out of character, I have to remember that God has placed that commandment over my head. And to violate that because of my husband's actions is violating my relationship with God. That governs me because I have a love for God. And then after a while, when you become so filled with the Holy Spirit and you become, you know, you become so desiring to be the image of, in the image of God and in his likeness and to be pleasing to him, these things begin to flow out of you. When Christ is your first priority, everything else falls into line. Prophet, anyone can hear and tell you, it's my love for my wife that makes me treat her like I do. It's my love for my husband that makes me treat him like I do. And that may be right to some extent out in the world, but in a kingdom marriage, ultimately, with all the pressures and the oppressions that come from external forces. And let me tell you something, because marriage is a reflection of Christ to his church, the devil is fully against marriages, especially kingdom marriages. With all of that oppression and the temptation and everything that's out there, the only thing that keeps you righteous in your marriage is your commitment to God.
Amen.
That's
amen.
What keeps it going. So don't let anyone tell you anything else. There's no secret. The secret is be committed to God first, and then all the roles will fall into place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, all his righteousness, all these other things will be added unto you. That's the word of God.
Amen. I want to ask you a question, prophetess, and then I'm going to ask your husband as well, Prophetess Sean. First to you, prophetess. You was talking about submission. When you begin to submit to your husband, how did the power of God increase upon your mantle that he placed within the marriage on your end? And then I want to put the question on to the prophet, amen. What did loving your wife as Christ loved the church, what did it do for you by, amen, just dying to yourself on a daily basis within the marriage? What did it do for the power of God in that marriage?
Well, first, Prophet, I want to say, you know, we have to be transparent. It's very important to be transparent in the kingdom because that's what's going to help people that are looking, you know. It was never, I can never say it's an easy task. It was never easy. It was not something that was accomplished overnight. It came through much prayer, much supplication, and much desiring, like I said before, to be pleasing to God. And honestly, Prophet, it's a process that we walk daily because daily there's something in us, in our nature, in our carnal self, that wants to rise up and wants to do our own thing. But, you know, that's why the Apostle Paul says, he says, we die daily. And daily it's a death that you have to die to your flesh. But to answer your question, the more that I began to submit to my husband is the more I felt Christ begin to rise on the inside of me. But I want to tell you something. I got a lot of favor out of submitting to my husband, favor in material things, favor in different areas of my life. But the greatest favor that I obtained was being able to use my responses to my husband, the way that I conducted myself toward him as a gauge of my relationship with God. And the biggest manifestation of submission for me was that it kept me in a place of I want to call it holiness with God. It kept me in sync with his spirit because it allowed me to line up with the word of God, and it brought the ministry on the inside of me, the anointing, the callings, the giftings, to a whole nother level. It was like, and daily it's increasing because I tell you, this is something that we have to do daily. But there is a glory that rests upon my life, I believe, out of submission to my husband. I don't believe that I could have obtained that anywhere else other than through the institution of marriage, because God designed it that way. But it began to manifest in several other unrelated areas of my life, in the sense that I was able to learn more self-control. I was able to learn more meekness. I was able to learn more temperance, long-suffering, patience, kindness. I learned the true meaning of love, God's way. Come on. And how many know that that's invaluable? Being able to adapt those things on your daily walk, it's invaluable, because once you can learn that here in your marriage, you can use it anywhere else. Because how many know you can go out in public, prophet, and somebody can do you the wrong way. You can get away from that person and never see them again. But in marriage, you are forced to look at that thing in the eye, and it rises up like a mirror, and it causes you to look at yourself, and you see the thing in you that can possibly put you at distance from God, the thing that can possibly cause you to walk out of alignment with God. And guess what? Your love for Christ begins to rise up and say, you know what? This thing here is not worth my relationship with God. The way I'm handling my husband, come on, my responses, the fact that I did not exhibit self-control, I let my mouth go, my tongue control me. Come on, I need to deal with that, because that does not work the righteousness of God. It allows me to see myself through a mirror where I could not have otherwise been able to see myself, and it causes me to go to God, to seek him, to tweak my relationship with the Father, because I realize, God, there's something here that's unsubmitted. I don't want it to have any place in my life. Come on, I have no secrets with the devil. Him and I have no hiding spots. God, I need you to take this thing out of me so I can grow closer to you. Come on, so that's the greatest benefit for me right there. It's a mirror for me. Come on, submitting to him, to my husband, has caused me to see the areas that I need to work on. Because when something comes up and it's time for me to submit and I find that there's resistance, there's an opportunity for me to take it to Christ. And like I said, the more that I do that is a greater presence of God that I've discovered upon my life. That's worth everything to me, prophet. It's worth more than money. It's worth more than millions. Knowing that I'm walking with Christ is worth more than anything. So that's the greatest benefit for me.
Amen, prophetess. I'm going to turn this now to your husband, amen, the prophet of God, amen, Deshaun Smith. Amen, prophet.
Amen, praise the Lord. Amen. As my wife was speaking, it's the same thing. If it wasn't for me walking in the love of God. See, the Bible says to the husband to love her as I have loved the church. See, and it was through me operating in the love of God when I didn't feel like it. See, marriage is what it does. It shows you where your heart is at. It shows you the posture of your heart, and it leaves no room for excuses. A lot of times, people will say, "Well, you know, he or she made me do this or say this." You know, but God, he wants to see the response of your heart. If your spouse gets out of control, is out of order, or is saying things to hurt you, he wants to see if you can bow down and humble yourself in that instance and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And he wants us to begin, especially as men, to take these things onto him. The wife casts her cares upon the man, and the man has to begin to cast her cares and his cares upon the Lord. And in doing so, the Lord will begin to give you rest. And through me loving my wife, like I said, it ain't you know, we really get the true definition of love through marriage. A lot of times we get it twisted. We think love is a feeling and, you know, love at first sight, and you just got all of this heat and passion and this worldly kind of love. But I'm telling you, after a while, all of those things go out the window, and you have to walk in the love of God. You have to walk in the love of God, because I'm telling you, you will not be able to stand in your marriage if you do not have the love of God in you. Because the enemy will try to come in and play you with bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred. The Bible tells the man, it says, be not bitter against your wife. Because you will hinder your prayers. Your prayers will be hindered. because you haven't forgave her even as I have forgiven you. So how can you ask of me anything if you can't forgive the one that I have blessed you with? The Bible says this, that he who finds a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. And I'm telling you, there were certain things that I couldn't do as a single man. And as I began to love on my wife and come into God's divine alignment concerning my marriage, the Lord began to move and release favor upon my life. And not only my life, my family's life. And I began to see breakthrough. I began to see chains broken off of my own life. And it was through marriage. I'm telling you, marriage, it causes you to look at yourself. Because God, I'm telling you, if you don't, not saying that people don't change, but marriage speeds up that process for you. Because you have someone constantly is there to remind you of yourself and the things that you need to change. And if you're living by yourself, you don't have that. You're just doing whatever you want to do. I heard my wife talk about she felt like doing whatever she wanted to do. You know, and as a man, you know, we get like that too. We feel like we want to do what we want to do and how we want to do it. And one misconception men have is that we are the ruler, and the Lord had to change my mindset. He said, listen, you are not the ruler over this marriage. I just place you here so that the both of you could bring me glory. So I had to change my approach and understand that God was ruler and reigner and king over my marriage. And my wife and I are to operate as one flesh, her by my side, to accomplish the will of God for our lives.
That's good, Doc. That's good, Doc. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416 is the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. All our weekly students, amen, who notebook heads, amen. A lot of folks said they'd definitely be taking notes every Monday, amen, on the Empowerment Program, amen. We're the original Monday Night Empowerment, amen. We praise God, amen, for being the standard on Monday Night Empowerment. We thank you, God, for this broadcast, amen. And we have the prophets in the building. We're going to rock with them a few more minutes as we get ready to bring this to a close, amen. But you still have time to get your calls in, amen. Don't be nervous, amen. Don't feel like you're gonna get aired out on the radio, amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, I just discern, amen, that some sisters want to know, I'm dealing with some things in my life. How do I get there? How do I get there? I mean, I hear what you're saying, prophets. I want that with y'all, with that oneness and just the submission and just the washing of the woman with the word, amen. But I'm in a place where I can't trust nobody. Hallelujah. I'm in a place where I can't really be around people like that, amen. I have some things I need to work out as far as, you know, too many men done hurt me, amen. I've been in too many bad relationships, amen, and too many sisters done me wrong, amen. I hear what you're saying. That's all good, amen. But how do I get past that, amen? I know I need to just put everything down and find a wife and find a good thing, or, you know, find the grace of God and a man of God, amen, who will have me. How do I get to that point, amen? How do I become, as a woman of God, a good thing? And as a man of God, how do I have my eyes cleared, amen, that I may see a good thing when it's ever before me?
Amen, prophet. I want to speak in regards to the men, and I'm going to allow my wife to speak unto the woman. Amen. You know, a lot of times as men, we don't take time out to really get into the Lord's presence, to really allow God to create in us a new heart and renew a right spirit within us. One thing that helped me before I got married, I went on a cleansing spree. I began to ask the Lord to release certain soul ties, certain people that I was connected to. A lot of times we don't realize it, that the people that we connect with, especially on an intimate level, we become one flesh with them. And the things that they was carrying, whether it was fear, whether it was unforgiveness, whether it was a bitter spirit, whether it was a mindset of, you know, a faulty belief system that is not of God. When we connect ourselves with people like that, we carry those things with us along with our own baggage. And we have to, as men, get in a place with God so that God can cleanse us out. and so that the Lord can teach us how to be a husband. You know, my wife is doing a series now, Lord, teach me how to be a wife. But I believe us as husbands, we got to ask the Lord to teach us how to be a husband. And like she said before, you cannot be a husband or a wife if you do not have a relationship with the Lord. You know, it's just not going to, because especially in the kingdom, because we get all sorts of warfare that come and hit us.
Yeah.
And we have to have a foundation that's founded on Jesus Christ. Our foundation has to be built on him, so that when the enemy comes with his fiery darts to try to weaken our faith, you know, we can say what the Bible says, you know, that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder, you know, that with the two, we should no longer be two, but we should be one flesh. You know, that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. We have to begin to know, amen, that God is realer than our circumstances, and that nothing should be impossible when we depend and rely on God. So as a man, it takes us being vulnerable and being open and sincere with God and addressing those issues. There's some of us that have been taught, you know, I used to be out in the streets doing certain things, and, you know, as men tend to glorify, you know, certain things that they did, especially in regards to women, how many women you did, you know. So we have to begin to ask the Lord to wash our mindset and begin to understand our value as a man in the kingdom. I spoke not too long ago that as a man, we have value too. And we cannot, with the thing that God has placed on the inside of us, we can't just give it to anybody. Yes, the woman is very valuable too, but we are valuable. And when a man begins to understand his value in the kingdom, he do not settle for less. Because you know who you are. You know you're a man of God, a servant of God.
Yes.
And you know that you're called by God. And a certain, no woman, no person that try to seduce you into forfeiting the call that's on your life and the will and purpose that God has placed on your life. You're just going to get this pull in your spirit. I'm not going to go that way. I've been down that road too many times. And one thing that helped me, I began to cry out to the Lord and ask the Lord to deliver me from those things. Because as men, it's hard. Men are visual. We look at a woman, we see, you know, her frame, we see certain things, and we get caught up in that sometimes. And we have to begin to shift our perspective, not saying, you know, when we're pursuing a wife, we're not going to want those things and those attributes, but we have to look and see if she possessed the things of God on the inside and see how we can cultivate those things. And will she align herself with the vision that the Lord God has given unto the man?
My Lord, my Lord. Amen. I'm excited. Definitely having a ball, amen, on tonight, amen, with the founders of All Fire for Christ Outreach Ministries, amen, the prophets Deshaun Smith and Michelle Smith, amen. We're going to let you have final word, amen, and go ahead and give out your information, amen. We definitely having fun with you, amen, and just the word of the Lord just being released, amen, and just talking with y'all about a series of things concerning the prophetic mantle, also the kingdom marriage, amen. But I feel the woman of God has something she want to release too. Go ahead, woman of God.
Amen, prophet. I just wanted to add briefly to what my husband just said, and, you know, I thank God for the things I've been through in my life, because I truly believe that my life's journey has been led by God. And, you know, to the women out there, you know, speaking about, okay, finding a mate, but then finding a spouse, really, but then having so many issues that you've had to deal with, I want to say this. You have to, number one, be patient. A lot of times women, they want a husband, and they want that husband right now. And they're wondering, why is it that God has not released me the man that I've been praying for? Come on. But a lot of times, Prophet, like you said, there's a lot of baggage that we carry. And we have to be patient and be willing to go through the process of cleansing, like my husband said. I can tell you this. Before I met and married my husband, I was single without any type of interaction with any man intimately or whatever for 5 years. I walked alone for 5 solid years. There was a time where I looked through my phone and I had no one that I could pick up the phone and call and say, let's go out and have something to eat. And that was purely the work of the Lord. And that was because he was doing a cleansing process on the inside of me. I had to get cleaned out of all the relations, you know, the things that I had been through, my past relationship, you know, conceptions that I had concerning marriage that weren't necessarily true. God had to deal with me and build me up so that when he sent me a man who is of God's spirit, a man that's walking in the anointing and the power of God, a man that he designed for my life, I would not make a mess of it. I would know what to do because I'm so built up in God, in me. I know my value. I have the right thinking, although we still have to work on ourselves daily. But God placed in me a knowledge of what to do when this man comes along. First of all, I had to become a praying, virtuous woman of God. I couldn't be in a place where God sends me a man with a mantle like what my husband has. And when stuff starts to happen and warfare starts to come, I don't know what to do. I'm running, scampering in the corner, don't know what to do, crying. No, I have to be able to posture myself in prayer and seek the face of God and command the enemy to leave. Come on, I have to be in a place and a position to be able to intercede for the man of God, but I can't do that if I'm not built up, if I don't have a place, a position in God. Ruth could never receive Boaz if she was not in the right position. Come on, if you're not placed, if you're not positioned for what God has for you, you won't be able to handle it. So I had to go through a cleansing process. I had to go through a process where I had to realize my place in Christ. Come on, I had to realize that, you know what? Sex is not worth my value. Come on, sex is not worth my place or position. Nothing that a man comes to offer me is worth me being in right relationship with Christ. All those things had to be built up on the inside of me. And when God saw that I was at a place where he said, okay, all right, you're not perfect, but I believe I've placed on the inside of you the basics, the foundational things, something I can build on. Then he sent me my husband, glory to God. And you know what? It's still difficult even after that cleansing process. But I can just imagine what it would have been had I not gone through that. So I want to say to the women of God, be patient. It's worth the wait. Come on, you're asking God for your Boaz, but you don't want Boaz to come and you don't know what to do with Boaz. Come on, you want to be able to be built up. And the building up that I'm talking about is being built up in Christ. Come on, the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But if you don't know the source of your strength, if you don't know him that dwells on the inside of you, then you won't be of any effect to the man of God that he's going to send you. And I say man of God because if you're a woman of God, God is not going to send you an unsaved man. He's going to send you a man of God with a mantle on his life that you need to be able to support. So that's my word on that, Prophet.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I'm enjoying it. Amen. Amen. I'm not only the president, amen. I'm also the client, amen. Praise God. I love it, amen.
Amen, amen.
Go ahead, Prophet.
Oh, no, sir. I was just praising the Lord. Hallelujah.
Listen, we definitely thank you, amen, for rocking out with us here on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program, amen. For those who don't know, amen, because y'all do a ministry, y'all have a, you know, conference line that in the teaching that you and your wife do. I know you and I spoke briefly, with the work you're doing, getting the men together, amen, that for this type of prophetic teaching, amen, that, you know, you're going to be releasing Prophet Deshaun. And I know your wife, she's doing a teaching for the women, amen. All my sisters that's tuning in, you get your pen and your paper, amen, if this is your first time being exposed opposed to this prophetic teaching from this for this ministry, On Fire for Christ Outreach Ministries. You have a chance to get your paper and pen now as they get ready to tell you their information in their conference call dates, amen, their teaching, amen. Amen, where you can definitely be blessed, amen. I listen, amen, when as I have the time, amen. I've definitely been blessed each and every time. You won't get no water down, stale bread, amen. You won't get left over, amen, from two Sundays ago. It's always fresh, amen. I never have no complaints, amen, in Jesus' name. But go ahead, prophets.
Amen. And our ministry, like you have mentioned, is On Fire for Christ Outreach Ministries. You can find us on Facebook under On Fire for Christ Outreach Ministries. Our email address is onfireforchrist5@gmail.com, onfireforchrist5@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Prophet, we have our weekly prophetic prayer and intercession line. That's Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our dial-in access number is 267-507-0240. That's 267-507-0240. Access code 323086. And that's Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. You'll catch the prophet and I on that line. And on Monday nights, I have, my husband has allowed me to do Strength to God's Women, Real Bible Talk. That's an outlet of On Fire for Christ Outreach Ministries. It's the women's division. Right now we're in a series, Lord, Please Make Me a Wife. We're ministering to single women and married women alike, preparing and fine-tuning marriages. Glory to God. And that's Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We don't just talk about marriage on there. We talk about real-life issues as it relates to the Word of God. We bring the Word of God in. I speak all the time, and I have some awesome women of God that join me on the line. That's Monday nights at 9 p.m. You all can stay tuned. We have our website coming up soon. We have some conferences that we're going to be doing. And, you know, we're just pushing the work of God forward, doing what he's called us to do in this time and in this season. Glory to God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Prophet, you got any last words, amen, before we do our announcements? And, amen, let y'all release everybody, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank you so much, Prophet, for this invitation. Amen. It's definitely an honor and a privilege, amen, when someone recognizes the God in you. Amen. We're not about status. We're not about getting the glory. We're about glorifying our Father who is in heaven. So I just pray that the Lord will bless and keep you and expand and enlarge your territory in this season, and that you will not grow weary in well-doing. Amen.
Amen. I bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. I thank you, amen. I thank y'all for, like I said, counting our robbery to join us here on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program, amen. I've enjoyed this, amen. I definitely enjoyed this, and I know everybody out there in radio land enjoyed this, amen. Y'all must be enjoying it, amen, because y'all ain't had no complaints on tonight, amen. So, amen, God and did what he had to do, amen. So we bless God, amen. I also want to say that on this Sunday, we're going to have Pastor Philip Mercer in the building, amen, in Sounds of Prophetic Worship on the Kingdom Voices Gospel Program. Yes, you heard it right. We're going prophetic worship this Sunday. Tell a friend, tell a friend. Yes, the Sounds of Prophetic Worship, Philip Mercer will be in the building. Next Monday night on the Mantle of God, we are going apostolic. We will have the man of God himself, Apostle Winston Cooper. Amen. This man of God, he flows in the apostolic. My God. That's all I got to say. You in for next Monday night, amen. And an apostolic, amen. He has the apostolic doctrine. He has the mystery of the kingdom, amen. So he's a true apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bear witness of that in Jesus' name. So find yourself back here on Monday, and also, like I said, Sunday, Pastor Philip Mercer. And March 30th, yes, we will have Darren Deke in the building, fresh off just rocking it out with Canton Jones. We will have Darren Deke in the building, Mr. Christian Walk himself. Shout out to Quality of Life, March 30th, amen. So that's our lineup for the next three episodes, amen. But, yes, you can tune in tomorrow. You got Let the Lord Build a House with Minister Weathersby, Pastor Sherry. They're doing their thing, Sounding Alarm Ministry. Also, Wednesday we break. Thursday we have theologian Dr. Peter Paul Ventura teaching sound doctrine. All those theologian heads, amen. Dispensationalism, eschatology, if you like all that deep doctrinal stuff, amen. Glory be to God. It's good, amen. You tune in, amen. Be blessed, amen. It get kind of hard sometimes, amen, because he don't play no games, amen. Friday, then we have the, I'll call him champ, amen. We have the former heavyweight champion of the world, James Bone Crusher Smith. He's an elder, amen. He's a man of God. Yes, the same one that fought Mike Tyson, amen, yeah, amen. He has his own show here on EMG Radio, sponsored by Nathan on the Spot. Friday nights it goes down, the Do Right Challenge, amen. You definitely call in, show your love to the former heavyweight champion of the world, the champion, if you're listening on the internet, whatever, amen. You don't got the belt no more, man. I'll call Mike on you, praise God. I love you, champ. He's an awesome man of God also as well. He's doing a fundraiser June the 14th on Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. He's doing a fundraiser for the youth. So those of you, all my church leaders, amen, you get your vans up, your bus tickets together. He's inviting all the churches out June the 14th in Myrtle Beach. He's climbing back in the ring to raise some money for the youth, for gang members. He's trying to get the youth, get them in the boxing gym, do more constructive things. You know, he's a man of God, amen, but he's going back in the ring to raise some money, amen. You know, I think this is a wonderful thing, amen. So shout out to me, to the man of God, Elder James Bone Crusher Smith, in Jesus' name, amen. We bless you. I'm going to turn it right back in to the prophets of God so he can release everybody, and amen, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to close out in prayer. Father God, we just thank you right now, Father God, for this move of God on tonight. Father, we thank you, O God, for touching the hearts of your people, God. We thank you, O God, for releasing understanding, Father, upon the hearts of your people, God. We pray right now, God, that the words that was released on tonight, God, we pray, God, that it will penetrate the hearts of your people, God. We pray, God, that you will begin to touch their hearts, God, and turn their hearts back onto you, God. We pray right now, O God, that these words, O God, will bear fruit in the name of Jesus, O God. We pray right now, God, that this ministry will grow, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. We pray right now, oh God, that you will bless this ministry, God. We pray, oh God, that you will keep the overseers of this ministry, oh God, of this broadcast, Father God. We pray right now, God, that no weapon that is formed against them shall be able to prosper in the name of Jesus, God. We pray, God, that you will continue to push and thrust this ministry forward in this season, oh God. We pray, God, that you will send them the resources and the people that they need, oh God, to fulfill the will and purpose and assignment for this ministry in the name of Jesus, oh God. We thank you right now, oh God, for moving in a supernatural way, oh God, by signs and wonders and miracles, oh God. We thank you right now, Father God, for covering the people, God. We release Psalms 91 over the people, divine protection, oh God. We pray, God, that you will keep everyone that has called in on this line, oh God, on tonight, in the name of Jesus, God. We pray, God, that their lives will turn around, God. We pray right now, oh God, that they will draw closer to you, God, that they will begin, oh God, to come into communion with your spirit in the name of Jesus, God. And Lord God, we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen.
God bless you. Good night in Jesus' name.
Good night, prophet. Thank you, man.